The following program is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRB Radio, its management, or staff. Talk show, Money Talk with Steve Bobay. This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk with Steve Bobay. At 437-5000 or 1-888-344-5070. With market insights and so much more, talk to Steve now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Steve Bobay.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Money Talk Show. This is AM 790. The station for talking business. The Money Talk Show has been on the air for about 25 years now. What does that mean? It means that we've seen a lot. We've talked to a lot of you, both on the air and in our office. And we hope you had a good week, first for your health and the people that you love, and then money's somewhere on the list. But surely not number one, but it's somewhere on the priority list, I think, right? I think the people who handle money best are the ones that don't let it be number one. But you understand it must be somewhere, some kind of a priority for you, I guess. Well, the markets were up positively today. The Dow gained 44 to 20,902. The NASDAQ, 5861, up 22 points. And the S&P 500 added just 7. Most of the indexes are positive for the year after being positive last year. Keep in mind, folks, that no tree grows all the way to the sky. The U.S. stock market, at least, has had about 8 years of pretty reasonable performance now, and it seldom goes a lot beyond that. Stock market corrections aren't evil. They're really not anything. They're not to be feared unless you're overextended. If you are 84 years old, you shouldn't have 90% in stocks unless you've told your advisor or you've just decided that that money's not for you and you'll never use it. It's for the next generation, then it might be okay. But if your money is for you, then your risk level should be appropriate for you at this point, right? I think up until into your 80s, you can still have some stocks. I have many wonderful clients. One woman I'm thinking of, Mary, who's in her 80s, and she's very knowledgeable and very easy to talk to about these things. She understands everything that I say. And so those stereotypes you hear about when you're young, you should be very aggressive. When you're older, you should be very conservative. Well, I can think of many cases in my life of people that I know very well who are the opposite of that. I know young people who are very conservative. Most aren't, but there are some. And I know a few people that are older who are more aggressive than you might be comfortable being. If you've had investments for 30, I'm thinking of one client. I won't say his name. He's a very dear client of mine for almost 30 years now, doesn't react. I don't care what stocks do. No reaction, no worry. He always said to me, as long as we keep a proper ratio, there'll be ups and downs. In the long run, I believe it'll do pretty good. And so some people let it torture them, and some people don't at all. I have quite a bit of responsibility, and I take it very seriously, and at times I do worry about it, but I don't let money torture me at all. I never did. If you do that, you'll be a slave to it. So a good financial planner, I think, is one of the best investments you could ever make, talking about investments. That's really what I am, first and foremost, certified financial planner professional. And that person would sit down with you and draft a document that says if you want to retire at a certain age and you need a certain amount of income, minus your Social Security or pension or part-time work, whatever else you're going to have at that time, here's how much you need to supplement. And based on the portfolio you have, reasonable expected rates of return, your contributions and the company match, you're going to be in good shape. Now, I've become kind of well known for this little move, in that when I meet with people, Nathan and I did this with one of my long-term clients this week. We sat down to draft out a customized retirement plan for them. And we just left out their contributions. So imagine you sit down with your financial advisor. You got 10 years to go for retirement. You're worried that you'll never have enough money. We sit down and draft a document that says if you retire the way you told me you want to and you spend the way you tell me you think you'll need to, the money should last till you're 85 years old. And the client looked at that and said, wow, That's a lot better than I thought it would look come out. You know, they were very pessimistic about where they stand. The math of all this is absolutely impossible for anyone to do on their own. I don't want to be arrogant, but I'm one of the best math people I've ever met, and I can't do it in my head without the software to have an understanding of where you are. So financial planning is the first foundation, I think, to not worrying about the money. Don't let it bother you. If it's bothering you that much, something's wrong. You either have too much risk or you don't have the right people, one or the other. I've had several occasions in the years when I've met someone who sold all their stocks out at the bottom and lost 25, 35, 40, 50%. 2 years later, they come into my office, and they've been out of the market for a few years. And I tell them, you know, that's not the thing to do. And if that's going to be your reaction, you shouldn't be investing in these things. And that's an unselfish comment, because I'm telling that person to not open an account with me if they're going to hurt themselves. You know, it's not about me first. It's absolutely about you first. I operate as a fiduciary, which means I do what's in the best interest of the client. Working for free is not part of that list, though. So all advisors have to get paid. You just have to make sure you understand, you know, what it is, how it is. If done ethically and honestly, there's many different ways you can work with someone. It's perfectly fine. We have a lot going on right now in our industry. Many of you have heard of the pending Department of Labor rulings is proposing to require everyone in the financial business to be a fiduciary. And a fiduciary standard means you work on a fee basis. No matter what you recommend the client's money go into, you get paid the same amount. It eliminates all conflicts of interest. Without such a rule, you run the risk of talking to someone in the financial business who may be simply just searching out in the financial world whatever pays them the highest commission, and then build a nice story around it and to get you to do it. Now, most won't do that. I don't believe that at all. I believe most people in the financial business and most humans are good-natured and want to do the right thing. They want to make their father proud, as I always did, and their mother and their family and their children, you know. So most people in the business are very trustworthy, but there's enough badness in any field. And there are people in any field that will, you know, shortcut you and do the selfish thing. The ironic part about that is I've been in this business 38 years, and so I've seen an awful lot. And along the way, I met a few characters who were that type. None of them succeeded. None of them. None of them. They came and went. The financial business has an enormous turnover rate. The vast majority of people who try to be a financial advisor fail. It's one of the highest failure rates in the business. That's going to change. It's going to be harder to get going in the business, but going to be a much better retention rate. Because commissions are naturally or inherently dangerous, I think. And if any broker advisor is allowed to, by their own thought process, just pick anything that they want to recommend to you, there is a risk there. Now, if you're working with someone you know very well and you're comfortable with them, and you should be, or don't do business with them, make sure you ask, how do you get paid? My clients pay me an advisory fee. It starts at 1.25%, and at $250,000, it starts to go down, and they get discounts. It's very simple. But most of the commissionable products, like annuities and things, which aren't always wrong, I know you know that I'm very much not an annuity guy today. Now, I have a few clients that have annuities in my office, but they had them when I met them. And if I took it out of the annuity, they would have got a big fat 1099 for $100,000. So they didn't want to do that. Didn't want to pay that kind of taxes. So if you've had an annuity, not in an IRA, and you can always roll it to another annuity to get a better deal or something, you know. But if you take it out of the annuity status, you'll be paying taxes on all the gains in 1 year, if you take it all out in 1 year, at the maximum tax rate possible ordinary income. So that's why occasionally when I run into larger annuity accounts that are 10 or 20 years old, as much as I'm not a believer in annuities, I don't recommend that those accounts be terminated. I do recommend that they no longer add to them, because getting a tax bill for $100,000 at 70 years old takes many years of whatever the next account is better at. Think about how long it will take to make up for paying the tax at that level. So annuities can be okay, if they were purchased long ago. I don't like them in the current era. And annuities haven't changed that much, for my opinion, to change. It's that the alternatives have. There was no Roth IRAs, you know. If someone tells you that putting $50 a month into $100 a month into an annuity is better than a Roth IRA, I'd love to get a hold of that character and have a conversation with them, with you sitting there listening. Roth IRAs weren't available. See, an annuity defers all your gains to a later date where they'll be taxed at the highest possible rate. A Roth IRA doesn't have any taxes at all. It's tax-free. So annuities can have their place. I like immediate annuities when interest rates are higher. They give you a guaranteed life income. They are, in general, a reasonable tool, in my opinion, at that time. I wouldn't do it now because an immediate annuity locks you in the day you purchase it based on the interest rates that we have right now. So an immediate annuity right now might be only a 2% or so investment return, and then the balance of your payments would be your own money coming back to you. So be careful when you're dealing with annuities. They can have a place. You got to really stretch it to get me to agree with it. But that's okay. I have my own prejudices and my own biases, as we all do. Annuities are not as bad as they used to be. They have improved. But I think in most cases you can do. You may have seen an ad on TV that I'm enjoying right now. I won't mention his name. It's a major insurance company. His name is Ken. On the TV, and he says, we don't sell annuities. He said, we'd rather go to hell than sell annuities. No, that's extreme also. You know, there are some times where it can fit, but I believe, unfortunately, in the industry, it has been widely sold, not based on its appropriateness, but based on its compensation. And that's what these Department of Labor rulings are all about, trying to have financial people act as fiduciaries. And that means you must, if questioned, be able to prove, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that what you recommended to that person was in their best interest, not your best interest. Now, yes, you have to get paid, but some of these products pay, you know, up to 6% or maybe even 10%, I saw once, on an annuity. And so, again, it's not that the product itself is evil. It's that some evil people have used it in an improper manner. But I do agree, and our firm agrees, and all members of our team agree, that it is clearly in your best interest as a consumer to work, not to work on a commission basis with anybody. I'm not saying it can't work if you've got the right person. It can. But these comments are meant to be industry general. They're not targeted at anybody in particular. With what I know, if I was the customer, rather than I've been the advisor, you know, for 40 years, so it's hard to imagine being the customer. But if I was, you just have to make sure you understand compensation. If you understand compensation, you understand motivation. So don't be shy and don't be afraid to ask your people, how much do they get paid for what they do for you? Where can I find it in my paperwork? Please show me. This is something people have been uncomfortable asking. You know, it's like asking your auto mechanic, hey, how much you make a year fixing my car? You know what I mean? You're not really comfortable with that. But you would be comfortable asking the mechanic, you know, what do you make on a starter? Because then you know where the mock-up is. But compensation or an understanding of compensation, and if anyone implies to you that it's not proper for you to demand to know how much someone gets paid and how they get paid for providing you services, well, that's wrong too. So when I come back from the break, we're going to talk about where this new ruling is.
This is a test. This station is conducting a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Money Talk Show on AM 790. If you have a question or a concern, you can reach me at 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. 26 years I've been doing this, and I still have to look at those numbers to give them out because I don't dial them ever. I think that's pretty funny. Did you ever blank on your own phone number? Could you never call it? I don't, because being in business, I give it out so often, but I can understand how that could happen. Hey, here's a fascinating factoid for you people. You know, we have a new president. We all know that. Some like him, some don't. Prior to, the minute he got elected, the first thoughts or the first buzzing in the financial world is, you know, what do you invest in now differently with this person at the helm versus had it been Hillary Clinton? And clearly, Hillary Clinton was more of a supporter of alternative energies, more progressive in that way. What's the best answer? I don't know. I'm no expert on that. Probably a little bit of each, you know. And President Trump clearly voiced many times being a bigger believer in traditional energies, oil, gas, things like that. So now we have Donald Trump becomes president. And I had a couple of clients call me to give me permission to do whatever I thought had to be done to take advantage of the opportunity. And I said to them, it's not as simple as somebody else might be telling you. And I tried to explain to them how history works. And this is a perfect example of it. This is actual facts, you know. So year to date, of the two categories of alternative fuel index and the traditional fuel, oil and gas, with this president, you would think it's the oil and gas that has the big ups. Wrong. It's the number one year-to-date performing sector in our economy, the alternative fuel index, solar, you know, wind power, which I think is great. But it's the opposite of what you would have thought. Now, this may not be the case 6 months from now, but this is, you know, a month is a very short period of time, so we don't make any decisions based on that. But I thought you all might find that fascinating, as I did, that many times in the financial business, you could spend, you know, a whole week studying something, look at it in the past and say, geez, every time this happens, that happens. And so this is how we'll go this time, and you're completely wrong. Happens all the time. If you're in the business long enough, you learn that you just hope to be right majority of the time, but you know you won't be all the time. My favorite example of that was when the first class action lawsuit was not filed but settled against Philip Morris. And, of course, there was the first time that a court said, yes, you guys are responsible for that man's cancer because you sold him cigarettes. It's kind of what, you know, that came down there. And so the immediate thought of that is, well, that's a floodgate, man. Once one court decides that, everybody who's ever been sick from smoking cigarettes, and I'm not blaming them all for doing that, that's up to them, are going to flood the courts. There's going to be so many lawsuits. These companies are going to be destroyed. There's going to be nothing left. So you better sell all your Philip Morris. I heard that when that happened. It was years ago, you know. 12 months later, the stock of Philip Morris doubled. It went up 100%. Why is that? Because sales of cigarettes overseas were exploding. So my point is, don't think for a minute that any of this speculation, and sometimes you hear people talk about in such an overconfident manner, be aware, be very leery of financial people who don't have a good touch of humility to them. They tend to be salesmen-y in general. And we work in a field where nothing is really knowable. You got a shot at knowing it, but if you're right 75% of the time, that's probably way above average. So this Department of Labor ruling is designed to require all financial people like me to behave like me. And that means be a fiduciary, put the client's interests first, and then you negotiate a price for your services. But the service is in their best interest, not your best interest. That's the difference. Let me share with you an email I received from my people at my brokerage company. And it just said that on the evening of the 8th, pardon me, the evening of March 8th, the most recent judge found to proceed with the DOL ruling. The Trump administration had requested a pause on it until a review in, later on in the year. But as we stand right now, we're going forward with this. I do believe it will happen. I do believe it's in the best interest of you people. It's not in the best interest of salesmen or people who sell financial products. Now, I know, and I've said it many times, there are many good people who do their business that way, and they're not hurting anybody. The problem is, if you leave that choice to the individual advisor on what to recommend, and you can either get paid 1% or 10%, what do you think is going to happen? Some people, fortunately, I think it's the minority, very much the minority, will just look at what their needs are and recommend what makes the most money. And if you said to them, well, why didn't you recommend that? That's better for them. They would say, I can't afford to recommend that. I've heard that argument before. I can't afford to recommend that. And then, you know, leave the parking lot in a Porsche. So selling is a dangerous thing. It does not belong in the medical field nor the financial field, in my opinion. I don't think doctors should act like salespeople, and I don't think financial people should either. So prior to the show tonight, I said, what can I do that's different? You know, we've been here for a quarter of a century. I appreciate your attentiveness. So I went to the dictionary, Webster's Dictionary, and I typed in the word sell or selling. And this was the first definition that came up. This is the Webster dictionary definition of selling: to deliver or give up in violation of duty, trust, or loyalty, especially for personal gains. Let me tell you that one again. This is the dictionary definition: to deliver or give up in violation of duty, trust, or loyalty. Now, the majority of people who sell financial products don't fit that description. But enough of them do, unfortunately, apparently, for us to have federal regulations that have already gone through in Europe, by the way. No one's telling you that one either. Years ago, we're kind of trailing behind that one. And the basic concept is that if you're going to have an investment portfolio, retirement accounts only, this applies to, you can still do whatever you like commission-wise with cash money. But if you have an IRA, you know, Roth IRA, that sort of thing, the only way your advisor will be able to get paid in the future is on a standard fee, like I mentioned before, 1%, 0.5%, whatever it is. Large accounts can get discounts. But it takes away any potential shenanigans. Good word. My mother used to like that word, shenanigans. It just means that if you're going to pay me 1% to manage an IRA for you, the only way I can make more money is to grow your account. Because 1% of a bigger number is a bigger number, right? I can't get it by moving the money around real often. That's called churning. And you can't get your income by recommending just the thing that pays you the highest commission right off the top. So I want you all to know that we believe very much in this. And if the Department of Labor ruling is deferred, I don't think we're going to defer. My practice, my business, and the people that I train and coach in the company will be moving ahead with this concept because we really, truly believe that it is in the best interest of a client. I looked at an account the other day that had A-share mutual funds, which is nothing wrong with A-share mutual funds if they're sold correctly. Client had them for many, many years, but the operating expenses of the mutual funds was around 1 to 1.25%, and that's just to hold them. There's no oversight going on. There's no management. There's no obligation by anybody to be in communication with you to make sure this is still good for you. But under the new rules, the person's going to be all advisors are going to be have to work on a fee basis, which will eliminate any shenanigans because no matter what you recommend inside that IRA account, the product itself will not pay you anything. It'll only be the management fee the client pays you, and you'll get paid exactly the same no matter what you recommend. This takes away all questions of honesty and integrity. Unfortunately, like all professions, there's a small group of people who cause these problems, and then the rest of us have to jump over the hurdles. This is a hurdle I happen to believe in. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, and we'll be back.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show. This is AM 790, your station for talking business. Hey, it's tax time. If you've got a 1099 problem I can help you with, believe it or not, I have some experience in that area. Retirement accounts are simple in that there's no tax consequences. If you're handling money for someone and it's not retirement accounts, cash money, you have to think of the tax implications. Is this client ready to get a 1099 for $35,000 at the end of the year? You know? Well, the first thing you do if you're an advisor and you're managing, and I do have some of these, you either have to understand that the client is wealthy enough that no problem paying the tax bill, or you call them and discuss it before you trigger a $30,000 tax bill. In almost 40 years in this business, one of the strongest reasons I've had someone in my office could not wait to fire somebody in my business was that was the reason. They got a 1099 for $30,000, $40,000, and no one warned them. That's crazy. That would never happen in my office ever. I can't even comprehend sitting at my desk making a decision that's going to result in that tax. Or even worse, you made a decision and you're not aware that it's going to result in that tax because you're not tax knowledgeable. Many people who spend most of their life dealing with IRAs and tax-sheltered money, when they get involved in cash accounts, they end up in a lot of trouble because the tax laws are very, very complicated. And I think it takes a decade of experience to really be astute in that area. IRAs are simpler from a tax standpoint, nothing else. Hey, headlines in Barron's this week. The odds of you being audited, I said you, not me, meaning the average folks out there. The audit ratios are different if you're self-employed. It's higher because they figure there's more shenanigans. There's that word again. Anyway, it's now 1 in 143. So once in every 143 years, the average person would get an IRS audit. That's almost three working lifetimes, right? Yeah, that's three careers. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean to mess around with the IRS. Always be honest. This is an organization. There's nobody to run to. It's like when the biggest guy in the schoolyard's after you, what do? You know, hide under the car, I guess, right? But the IRS is the big guy in the schoolyard, so don't ever mess around with them. File your taxes honestly, diligently, know the law, hire people that know the law, and there is absolutely nothing patriotic about paying more taxes than you need to. But it is important that you pay whatever we've all agreed is fair, and that's what we all have to do every year. Now, if you don't like the arrangement, you know, try to get some laws changed for whatever that you think would be more appropriate for you. But in the meantime, this bit of news could be interpreted as an opportunity to be lax about your accounting, and do not make that mistake at all. Just an interesting fact here on the Money Talk Show. Excuse me. At some point in your life, as your assets get larger, liquidity is important. And when I've said this to some a few times, and I got an answer from some very young financial people. I said, well, if they buy a variable annuity and it has an 8-year penalty period, what does it matter? They don't need the money till they're 65. And I smile and say to them, because in year two, if they don't like you anymore, they can't fire you without the penalty, right? What if you're rude to them on the phone? What if your advisor is uncaring? What if they're disrespectful? What if they won't even return your phone calls? And you're in year three of an annuity and you want to fire them? Guess what? They still can penalize you, even though they're the reason that you want to close the account. That's crazy, man. Don't get involved in that stuff. If you like annuities, there are annuities that don't have big penalty periods, but very few people recommend them because they don't pay big commissions. Best way to own an annuity, I think, is to do it yourself directly at like a Fidelity or something, because you'll get away from those big, heavy commissions that add to your costs tremendously. Tough place we're in right now. A lot of changes going on. The current DOL proposal, again, was not abolished. I had a conversation today with one of my long-term fund clients, and she told me that it had been reversed. It's not true. The presidential committee requested that be put on hold until a little bit later date, and was it today's Friday? So Wednesday night, the judge that was handling it decided in favor of going forward with the DOL. Now, of course, the current administration can challenge it all you want, and that's kind of par for course with Donald Trump. He's anti-regulation, which I am also. I'm just not anti this regulation. I think this is a very good one. Very difficult if you've made your living on a commission basis in the financial biz. It's going to be a terrible upheaval, but I have to remain committed to what's in the best interest of the consumer at all times, as we all should be. And if that's the case, then I think the new rules that we're trying to get through right now will be really good for everyone. One of the things it will do is that if you open an account, a new account, and the person you open the account with doesn't make it for very long, and most don't in this business, you go back in year two to get service on your account, and the person handling the account never got paid anything on your account and doesn't get paid anything. It's terrible. It's a horrible conflict of interest, and that's what we're trying to eliminate, is these conflicts right now. Again, my opinion, it's just my opinion, is that selling has no place in the financial world or in medicine. If a doctor is allowed to recommend the pill that makes him the most money, take his license, get him out of the business. If people in the financial business are recommending to people what makes them the most money instead of what's best for the client, take their license, get them out of the business. Now, again, you may have a relationship. I have some commission accounts in my office that worked beautifully because it was done correctly. Mutual funds were purchased with a discount for volume. Any changes within the portfolio were made within the same fund company, so no new commissions were earned. And the clients are liquid at any time if they want to take the money and run. I think the best protection you all can have, and I would really ask you to listen very carefully to this. If you're just trying to decide what to do with your retirement money, the single most important thing, wherever you put the money, should be, again, just my opinion, should be that you can fire them anytime you want for any reason. You're the customer, without them penalizing you. So ask the question when you're about to open an account. If I open this account, Mr. and Mrs. Advisor, and 3 months from now, I'm not happy with you or anything about this, what does it cost me to take my money and go away? And if you ask me that question, it's always the same. There is no cost at all. It's your money. If you want to go, you go, and we'll probably even help you do it if that's really what you think is in your best interest. So a lot of changes going on. If you are right about to make a big decision right now, if you can defer it a bit, I would do that. Unless you're working with people you've known for an awful long time, a lot of trust going on, then fine. But if you're seeking a new relationship right now, there's a lot of rules up in the air. And if you could defer that a bit, that might be a good idea for you to consider doing that. I think that it's time. I think it's time for this type of change in our business. And I do believe eventually, however it gets done, that it will happen. And that it will be a time very soon when in a retirement account, any professional person can only get paid an ongoing modest fee, not a whopping commission up front for selling you some sort of product. Again, there are people who do that well, and honestly, I apologize. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but too many people in the commission business find themselves under the scrutiny of the SEC, and the number of complaints in the commissionable product arena is astronomical. I think the last time I read it was Hawaii, which has a high population of older people, you know, and they get involved a lot in money because they're the ones that have it, you know. I believe I read that the complaints on annuities for Hawaii were more than every other financial product put together. I never met anyone yet that owned an annuity that knew what they had once they buy it. I ask them questions. They're wrong. They don't know the answers. What does it cost? They don't know that either. Again, is it always wrong? No. If you've got a lifetime or a real nice relationship with your financial advisor and they like a little bit of an annuity in your mix and it's a proper, reasonable allocation, not all of your money, I think there's some kind of an argument there that needs to be respected. But the problem is people who are carte blanche recommending the same thing over in a cookie cutter, you know, simply because it is the most rewarding for them. And then you just kind of, I guess they just try to paint a nice story around it. Again, so if you're at a point right now in your life, you're about to make a big decision, especially like with a big 401k plan, my advice is now and forever, don't put it anywhere where you can't move it quickly.
It's time for Dunkin' Donuts regional traffic, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin's Cold Brew is a unique coffee experience and new sweet.
Thanks. Good music. Appreciate it. Little David Bowie, I think, right? This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790. A little more on this Department of Labor ruling. People are very confused about it. Here's a headline for March 1st. President Trump's direction, DOL, moves to delay the fiduciary rule. And so many people I meet right now are telling me, oh, no, that's off now. No, it's not. On March 1st, President Trump's direction, Department of Labor, was asked to delay the fiduciary rule. And on March 8th, just 2 days ago, Judge Barbara Lynn ruled in favor of the Department of Labor conflict of interest rule, effectively denying the request of the Justice Department, that's led by Trump, earlier in the day, not to rule on the case pending its proposed status report until March 10th. So, this is going forward. This is the most recent decision on this. I get an email every day on this from our company, our brokerage company, from the legal department. And so as of March 8th, 2 days ago, anyway, Judge Barbara Lynn is the name of the judge, ruled in favor of the Department of Labor conflict of interest rule. How can you not be for a law that says all financial people must operate in the best interest of the customer? I don't understand. I'm not going to ever understand. I've heard some talk about it's interfering with free enterprise. I don't think so. Finance is too complicated. The average person is overwhelmed. Their eyes roll back in their head when they talk about, when you try to talk about these things. It's one of the most complicated topics in our lives. and there's just too much room for abuse. So I'm all for, and we on the program here, all hosts of the program and helpers are all for something like this to occur. Now, that shouldn't surprise you that we're for this ruling because we changed our way of operating 15 years ago. We're decades ahead of this because we believed 15 years ago that it was in the best interest. And I wanted to be able to tell my clients, and I've been very happy and proud for 15 years, to tell them that no matter what I recommend in your portfolio, I'll always get paid the same thing. There's no way that I can enrich myself with my advice. I can only enrich you first, and then if your account grows, then my fee will be a little higher, right? 1% of a bigger number is a bigger number, right? And I think that is the only way that we should be rewarded. I think we are a lot like doctors in that the poor patient is overwhelmed with this topic. I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, but, you know, I'm all right. And medicine is confusing. Health insurance I find very confusing. That's my blind spot. That's why I'm not in the insurance business, you know. So anyway, if you've been following these rules, you got to be careful because sometimes you had a client say to me, oh, no, this was stopped, and he handed me an email, a internet printout that he printed that he read. It was 5 weeks old. This thing's moving fast. If you don't have information that's a day or two old on this, then you're behind the curve already. So if you've been receiving letters or phone calls from your investment people because you have a commissionable IRA, and again, there's nothing wrong if it's done right of having a commissionable IRA. You're going to be hearing from them pretty soon, I think, by the end of the year at least. We're moving towards a deadline of April 10th. Could be a chance that that's pushed back 6 months to October. I think the main reason for delaying this is that he's got our president has too much else on his plate right now. I don't really think he's against it. I think he just doesn't want to deal with it right now. That's just my opinion, and this is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, your station for talk and business. What to do, what to do. Retirement is a challenging and scary thing. I did a financial plan for, we do lots of financial plans. I'm a certified financial planner, so we do lots of that. And client said to me, I thought I needed $1.7 million to retire. I said, well, it depends on who you are, you know. I know people who are couples who are the same age as my wife and I, 57. And just from casual chit-chat with them, whether they be customers, I won't mention any names, or friends or neighbors or family members, that need twice the monthly income we need to live happily. I don't get that. If one couple can be happy with $4,000, if somebody needs $8,000, that's probably a style thing. And my very wise but still a little kind of young son, Nathan, who you've heard enjoyed on the program on Wednesday night, said to me quite a while ago, and he's quite a clever fellow, that life isn't that expensive if you don't have a big ego. So try to put your ego in your back pocket, especially if you're younger and building your way through life. If you're a younger person or if you have children who are 20s and 30s, the Dave Ramsey program here on 790, I'm so proud of that program to be on the same station with him. I think that man has done so much good in this world. If you convince young people not to follow the normal, in my opinion, insane path many people follow financially to overlive their life. All you have to do is overlive your income by 1% for 20 years, and you have a mess. All you got to do is shave your lifestyle back. 2 or 3% would solve almost every problem people have over a 10-year period. So simple to do, right? Another famous Nathan line, things that are easy to do are easy not to do. And that's true, too. And hence, how do you solve that? If you can't muster the discipline yourself, sit down with a certified financial planner professional, have them draft a private plan for you, and they can actually figure out how much you need to save per month for you to hit your retirement targets. Now, if you're saving enough to hit your goals, and then you get a nice big fat raise, maybe you don't have to put any of that raise towards retirement. You can spend it all today and enjoy yourself. But you never know that if you don't have it figured out. You don't want to wing it. Many people say, you know, I just put as much as I could away and hoped it worked. Well, okay, I hope it worked. I would think that would be a nervous, frightful journey. I have known, I'm 57, I have known for at least 20 years that I am saving plenty per year to retire comfortably. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't think about it. I don't worry about it. And I think I have a quite a few clients are in the same state of mind. It comes from good planning and conservative planning, meaning when you do a financial plan for your retirement, you don't want to assume 12% return like we did 25 years ago. I did that. Can't do it anymore. Okay, no more than 6. 4 is okay, too. 4 or 6% return. As a matter of fact, we have a software program in our office. That's a wonderful. It's called Profiles. And it has a default setting. So if we're planning for someone and we tell them, well, the investments we're going to assume will make 6% and the person's 46 years old. If I click a little button on the software, it automatically adjusts the rate of return down to 60% of that once you cross over your retirement age. The concept being, once you do retire, you don't have the ability to save any more money, so you better be more careful with what you have, right? So I do think that planning that way is wise. Plan for a moderate return in your younger years. Never plan on a big return, because if you don't get it, you'll be short and you'll be too old to fix the problem, right? Okay, I don't think I'm in good shape. I'm healthy. I feel good, but I wouldn't want to look for another job at 60 years old. I've only done one thing for 100 years, so I don't have a broad skill set, you know? So if you're in that position right now, thinking about your retirement, worried about it, sit down with a certified financial professional. I didn't say us, any certified financial planner professional, and draft a personal retirement document. And if what you're looking for is how much do I have to save, tell that person that's what you need to get out of that, and hopefully many benefits. But one thing is, it can calculate for you exactly how much you should be putting in that 401k plan to hit specific targets. This is the Money Talk Show. I hope you're all doing well and have a good, safe weekend. I guess we got cold and snow coming. Before we know it, it'll be April 1st, and we'll be back on the water. Have a good, safe weekend. This is Steve Bove tuning out, and tune in Monday night for Don Sowa right here on the Money Talk Show.